1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551 is our text number. Continuing our discussion, we're getting lots of reaction from people who came back to Ireland, or indeed are thinking of coming back, or have just arrived back. John Ring. John, good afternoon.
Oh, hi, Joe. How are you doing?
Good, thanks, John. You moved up to Dublin 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm,
never lived here before. But when did these incidents happen?
Just yesterday evening.
Okay.
I was out for a social drink with friends of mine who are from overseas, who were here for work for a week.
Okay.
And we all there were one from Australia, one from Singapore, and one from London. And we were just having a catch-up drink, all friends, and we were just kind of just constant flow. We were outside a pub in George Street in the city centre, and there was just a constant flow of people begging and asking for money. It was just really uncomfortable and really awkward, and really just like but constant. It was like we had to go inside. You know, it was a lovely evening yesterday, and I suppose the joke was that we were in Dublin and it was really sunny and we were outside drinking like we had done many times before in Australia or London or and Asia and stuff like that. And like just this constant bombardment of adult men looking for money and just constantly asking like for a euro or have you got any change. And just so we had to go inside and have our drinks. And that was fine. We cut up, and kind of the Singaporean was really unnerved by it because, of course, nothing happens in Singapore. And they wouldn't have, and the Australian was like, "Is this normal? Is this standard issue?" And the Brit was like, "Oh, this is a bit too much, isn't it?" And that's coming from a person who lived in London. So we were, that was fine, and we had our drinks and we had a lovely evening. We said goodbye and then went down to Ashton Key to get the bus. And I never got the bus before. I usually would walk home in that situation. And just then, like, these women, like four women, just kept asking for money and again change and have you got any money, but they didn't seem that homeless, those women. So I don't know if they were just kind of on a lucrative industry that they had discovered at the bus stop. It was all really just not nice, not a nice atmosphere, and kind of, you know, one of my friends might be moving here due to her work and stuff like that, like me, and they were a bit like, oh, this is a bit, is this normal? Is this Dublin, you know? And it's a bit embarrassing because this is where I've moved to now, and I am Irish, so of course you're proud of Ireland and everything, you want to show it off to your friends. And it was just really unnerving and really just a lot. Like, just, it wasn't one you'd get over,
or
you know, a guy at the ATM, you'd get over him, but just a constant flow. It was almost like an industry, you know, of people who just beg or ask to. So yeah, it was just unnerving, really, and just a bit embarrassing, I felt, really. That's why I kind of emailed last night when I got home.
So, John, you're saying within a relatively short duration, maybe, I don't know, 30 minutes, 40 minutes.
Oh, yeah. We were there 30 minutes outside. Yeah.
But you're saying in the centre of Dublin, in a relatively short period, you were stopped by seven.
Well, we were standing.
Up to 11, so we 11 different people looking for money between 7 and 4 at the bus stop.
Outside the pub, it was all men, seven men in about 30 minutes.
Age? And then, what age group, John?
I don't know. I had to. No one like older than 40. Like no one older than 45, 50, and as young as maybe 19, 20. And then the women then were quite young. They were later on in Ashton Key. That was around 11 o'clock at night, and they were only in their 20s, but they didn't seem to be at home, like, if anyone, you can say that
they weren't
homeless, but they were a bit more dressed, and I think maybe they were a bit more chancing their arm kind of thing. I think they had a more lucrative business going on, if you know what I mean, maybe, I don't know. But it was very unnerving. Like, it's just really embarrassing.
Okay, and then
constantly flowed by these people.
And you mentioned, as you say, you've been away for a long time. You lived in Australia, New Zealand, and most recently there, you mentioned London.
Yeah.
And you stood outside, which normal behaviour in most cities is to have a drink outside, if that's possible. What has been the experience then in other countries?
Well, in Australia, it wouldn't really happen. There might be a guy maybe, or at the ATM or something like that, or, you know, just might chance his arm, but nothing harassing. And then in Singapore, in New Zealand, nothing really happens either. Like you just have a few drinks and everyone's fine and there's no big deal. And in London, no one would harass you. Like, no one. Mm-hmm. There'd be someone at the ATM again or outside the tube stop, or they might ask, they might be selling the big issue or something, but no one would ever come up to you or harass you like in the way they do here. Like, they're just like almost, they feel they have a right to ask you for everything here or something. It's very like, you can't constantly keep saying no. And not that I, like, well, someone must be giving them the money because they're not doing it. Mm-hmm. If there was no one giving them money, they wouldn't, okay, they wouldn't do it. So clearly people are giving them money.
So
it's clearly lucrative.
Two things, John, insofar as, yeah, how would you characterise the request for money? I know it would
It's just a blatant ask. It's just like, have you got a euro? Like, there's no, you know, it's just no, there's no story of hardship. It's just like, give me a euro. I'm, you know, yeah, I want a euro. I'm homeless. Let's, you know.
And does refusal offend?
I'll just say no, like, straight up. I just don't, like, I just don't show any interest in them. And you know when they're coming. You can see them kind of out of the corner of your eye and stuff like that. So I'm just like, it's kind of almost batting down the hatches situation. Like, stop talking. No one's talking. Like, or just keep talking kind of even more intensely with your friends. Ignore them and just say no. And they just, but they will, you know, they're just there constantly begging. But when there's a flow of them, it's quite disconcerting. And it was embarrassing, really, for, you know, people from overseas to, and I said, as my friend was saying, one of them was thinking of moving here, and they were like, is this normal? And I was like, oh, yeah, apparently.
But John, your three friends, did any of them say, well, will I give money or not give money?
No.
Did any of them look for guidance?
No. Would they give them money?
Yeah, that's what I mean. You know, when you're with friends.
No.
Okay.
None of my friends would give money. No.
And
they wouldn't be able to.
Did anyone say thanks anyway for listening to me or?
No. Like, it's not like a thing. I don't know if begging is illegal or not in this country. I'm not too sure, but it just seems like it's just relentless, really, in Dublin.
London, as you know, has a serious homeless crisis. Like, I've heard it described.
Yeah, but they don't.
The worst
thing
ever.
About it is, the cheek and jowl of London is they know you. They won't harass you because they know you're not. They're not going to get it. You know. Mm. So here they're really cheeky. Like, they just have this almost blatant, like, disregard for all social norms, and they'll go for it. But in London, no one would ever, like, harass you like that. Like, I really feel much safer in London walking around than I would in, like, at Dublin. You know, there's a lot of antisocial behaviour going on at bus stops and stuff like that. That's why, I don't know why I got the bus last night. And then there was a bit of an incident on the bus and a lot of screaming and going on. And that would never happen, really, in London, in, like, that I've been aware of, you know. I know it's a bigger city and you...
I'm not being, it's not my Dickensian image of London where there was a lot of begging, obviously.
Oh, there is. There is, gonna have some
there is begging in London.
Oh, there is begging. I'm not saying there isn't, but they're always, like, if you're outside the pub drinking in London, which is a very common activity, especially in the heat and right now, it's probably their jammers, they wouldn't come up to you. Like, there wouldn't be a constant flow of them. Like, there might be a guy selling the big issue, or there might be one or two give a spiel, but nothing like last night. It was almost like, you know, they were like buses. They just kept coming, and that's kind of ironic because the buses aren't that great in Dublin. But,
well, begging, we're told, John, is not illegal in general per se, but aggressive begging, intimidation, running organised begging rings, failing to move on from certain places when ordered to do so by Gardaí can be illegal, obviously. But begging in itself is not illegal.
Well, it just makes the city very uncomfortable, I think. You know, that was my experience. And it's kind of embarrassing when you're there with people from overseas and they're just, like, asking the question, is this normal? Like, what's going on? And you're just like, I don't know, really, what's going on? I don't know what the root of it or the cause of it.
And insofar, because there was a documentary recently on, I think it was Channel 4, they did 60 Days on the Streets. Now, what they did was, now you might describe this, it's in March, describe this as quite cynical, but they set up a fake homeless beggar, if you follow me. He was an actor. and he lived on the streets. And his verdict was that he said that London was full of fake homeless beggars, like him, obviously, but he was doing it as a journalistic enterprise. But anyway, insofar as you can judge, are the people that approached you in Dublin in dire need of food and
sustenance? I think last night the men were all had a drug addiction problem. I think that was pretty clear. Like, they all were looking for, had drug addiction problem. But I don't think the women at on Ashton Quay, you know, I don't think they were. Might have been. Yeah, I don't think they were at all. Because it's kind of, they just seemed much more, they didn't seem as, like, I don't know. They were a bit more organized, or maybe a bit more, and they were trying to have a bit more fun. Like, they were trying to be cheeky about it.
Okay. 51551 Joe at RT.ie. Sheila is on the line. Sheila, your point, please.
Joe, I mean, I feel really sorry for this poor chap.
Who? John or Joe? John.
This chap who's talking
about. John is his name.
John. I mean, is he ashamed of the fact that Dublin City has very poor people? Or, you know, would a better approach not be to see what he can do for these poor people?
John, I don't know whether you... Yeah.
You know, we have people who are less fortunate than ourselves. And the last thing we should be is ashamed of them. We should be ashamed of ourselves for allowing our city to have people to have to go on the streets to beg from other people for money. You know, it's a reflection on ourselves, unfortunately.
So John should have stood there with his wallet open and just handed money to everyone who asked him?
No, I'm not saying that, Joe. But, I mean, this sort of attitude that he has, that he's embarrassed about this. I mean, what is he embarrassed about? Is he embarrassed about that there are people in this country who don't cope as well with life as the rest of us? And that is the reality of it. I mean, these people are drug addicts, they're poor people, they're people who are completely down on their luck. And I mean, the last thing he should be doing is criticizing them or, you know, being ashamed of them. He should be ashamed of ourselves that we're not doing more for these people.
Well, what do you mean ashamed of ourselves? Ashamed of people who pay taxes and
I mean, there are people who are very unfortunate in this city.
Everywhere.
And sometimes it's not their fault.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Life circumstances, I know.
Yes. You know, it could happen to any of us, given different breaks in life.
Yeah.
And I think we should be sympathetic to them. That's all I'm saying.
And is sympathy only expressed in money?
No, it's expressed in the systems and the procedures that are set up to help these people. I know the charities are doing a lot for them and, you know, the Brother Kevin and all those people are doing a lot for homeless people. But we should be contributing to that.
Well, we are contributing to that.
I know we are, Joe, but I mean...
Hang on. The taxpayer, for example, gives enormous amounts of money, unprecedented amounts of money through the state to homeless agencies. And by the way, it's acknowledged by the homeless agencies as well. The Irish public are more generous, Sheila, as you know. We won't invoke Live Aid at this stage, but are more generous per capita than most other countries. But I think the point, in fairness, John is making and is that he was surprised and he was taken aback by the number, having stood in a similar situation in other cities. And we're told, for example, London at the moment has the worst homeless crisis they've ever encountered because of the economic collapse and various other things as well. But do you not think John has a right to say, listen, is this... And I thought his tone was fine. Is this unusual, or is there anyone else surprised by this, or has anyone else investigated this?
Well, of course he has the right to say it, but I just think his view is not a sympathetic one to these people.
John, do you want to respond?
But I don't know what she wants me to say. Like, should I open my wallet and fork out every time someone asks for money? I should give them money, and like.
You don't have to fork out every time.
You could
stop and talk to those people.
No, yeah. I don't particularly want to talk to those people because mm-hmm. I was out enjoying my friends. I was having my evening for my time, catching up with people that I wanted to catch up with. And I didn't
and
want to start opening...
These unfortunate people intruded on that, yeah?
Well, I didn't want to start opening some charity event where I had to do the counselling on a main Dublin street and listen to some story and continue on, like, and feel sympathy. And before you kind of suggest that I'm, you know, have no sympathy for these people, mm-hmm. I'm well aware and I have worked in many areas of the world and I have done lots of charity work and I have given a lot of my time and money and experience to a lot of charities. So before you start saying I'm just kind of stuck up with my attitude and I don't have time for anyone, I feel you really feel...
No, I didn't say you were stuck up. I said you were unsympathetic.
But that's what you're kind of saying. And no, I'm just saying,
I'm
I just want to go out. I want to go out for an evening, have a nice time with my friends and not be harassed all night long, constantly. I just want to enjoy the nice summer evening, have a drink in the Dublin city centre and relax. And every few minutes when someone is harassing you, 7 people in 20 minutes. So that is not...
What would you suggest is done about those people? What would you suggest is done about them?
Well, maybe if begging was made illegal. I don't know, maybe the huge heroin problem that's in this country, the lack of police on the streets that you never see anyone, maybe the counselling services, the homeless problem, and so on. So I'm just saying... There's a lot of problems. I can't fix them. I don't know how to fix them, but I would just like to not be harassed when I'm out in public and give a bad atmosphere and a feeling around the city.
Okay, John, I'm losing on the mobile. Try to get a better mobile. Let me bring Fergus in. Fergus, you're listening to Sheila and John. Go ahead, Fergus.
Yeah, hi. I just totally disagree with that last woman you
Sheila,
had on there.
Sheila, yeah.
Sheila, sorry, yeah. And I agree with the guy who was talking at the start just there because... I don't think we should feel ashamed, you know, if we're stopped and asked for cash every 5 minutes, like in the city centre, which it is really bad. You know, the first guy is right. Like you can't stand outside a pub and have a drink like you can in other countries without being harassed like over and over again. You know.
But Sheila is saying this is reality.
Well, yeah, it's reality, but, like, you know, you can go to other countries. I mean, I've travelled all over the world. I've been to, like, many places, and I've never seen it as bad as it is in Dublin, like, you know.
Sheila, are you aware, I know you invoked Brother Kevin, and I mentioned Father Peter McVerry and Sister San, etc. But do they recommend that you give money to people who ask for alms on the street?
I don't know.
I don't think they do.
No, but I mean, it's just his attitude that sort of got to me. Mm. You know, the lack of sympathy for these people, really, you know.
I didn't. Anyway, Patrick, your point, please.
Joe, how are you doing?
51551 is our text. Yeah, thanks for making the call. Go ahead, Patrick.
Just, I suppose, on John, Sheila and Fergus's point there, just a couple of things, Joe, and probably varying points. This does happen in Dublin City, absolutely it does, and you know, there's loads of beggars around, unfortunately. An awful lot of people who need a few bob, and an awful lot of people after hitting rock bottom, and then there's a few chances around the place too, unfortunately. But it's not just a Dublin issue, it's happening all over Ireland. It's happening in Cork, Limerick, Galway, and in some country towns as well. On that point, what I did earlier this year, just coming out of the winter, I had a couple of nice blankets here that I washed myself and herself, and we brought them into town and we handed them out to people instead of giving them a few bob who you think would be genuine, you know? And the other thing then that I have seen some mornings going into work, mm-hmm. coming off buses in the dark, is you'd see people with the sleeping bags setting for the day, and you know, they're not genuine people, so
they're setting up for the day with a sleeping bag.
That's what I've seen, and I'm sure everybody that goes... Yeah, exactly. And that's what that gentleman, John, was probably talking about, those four ladies in Aston Quay yesterday evening. You know, that's sometimes what I have seen in the city centre in Dublin. And they have the signs there and they give the impression that they're homeless and then they get the bus out in the evening after getting a few bob. It's terrible. So it gives the genuine people that need a few bob an awful bad name, you know?
Okay, John, how do you respond to the charge from Sheila? If you wish, John, by the way, you're not on trial. No one is on trial. But, John, Sheila, keeps using this phrase, you came across as unsympathetic.
Well, yeah, I have sympathy for people that are homeless, but like, the problem is, are they really genuinely that homeless? And I think the first group of men that I met all had huge addiction problems.
Yeah.
And I don't think they were collecting their money to be buying a sandwich and a cup of tea somehow. I think.
Okay, that's a good point. What do you think of that point, Sheila? That one of the reasons why many of agencies say if give money to the agency rather than to the individual. Now, it's your own choice, but give money to the agency rather than the individual is that the individual might be in such difficulties that they will spend the money on drugs.
Oh, indeed. And I would totally agree with that. That it, the first thing is, the best thing is to do is to give the money to Focus Ireland or Brother Kevin or.
So John was right in resisting the
in that
request.
Regard. But another thing is, I mean, giving them a sandwich or a cup of tea, have done that as well, and that's also better than giving them money. But you know, to have some sympathy for them and not to feel that they're kind of, you know, dirt on the street or whatever, you know, it just, you know, shaking our consciences or whatever about poverty amongst us.
But are you trying to shame John into giving money?
No, I'm trying to get him to see that there are other people in this world who are less well off than he is.
Well, I think, yeah, in fairness, I think he's. I don't think he's been going around with blinkers between Australia, New Zealand and London. He said he's worked in charity areas. I mean, I don't think anyone's...
Well, fair enough, fair
I don't
enough,
think anyone's gone around with blinkers in terms
no,
of...
No, but that's the impression I got, Joe, from his...
Yeah, okay.
From his, you know,
let me stay there, Sheila. Betty, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe.
Should we give people who are in who are begging, should we give them money?
Definitely not, Joe. You're keeping them in the gutter. You're not helping them to help themselves. And, you know, I've been talking to a researcher for years. You know, I've come across many cases and I've given to people in the gutter.
Mm-hmm.
I've given to one lad, Stephen, here in Birmingham. I mean, you're talking about Dublin. It's all over, Joe. It's in London. It's in Birmingham. Anywhere. They're all just sitting down on their hunkers. And I've just witnessed it in Dublin. I was over there 2 weeks ago for 2 weeks' holiday.
Right.
And
Betty, was it... Well, compare and contrast Birmingham, Dublin, similar-sized cities.
Just to say... Well, Birmingham is the size of the whole of... Dublin, Ireland, Joe, you can't compare. But we have it at all the places outside Marks and Spencer's. I mean, I gave to one girl there about 6 weeks ago, sitting outside Marks and Spencer's. Lovely girl. She reminded me of one of my great-granddaughters. And I was telling Paddy and my granddaughter Amy about it. I said she was the spitting image of Holly. So I went over and I spoke to her. I sat down beside her on me hunkers. And asked her what she was doing, and she said she had no money, and she was homeless, and she had a daughter. I said, "How old is your daughter?" She said, 7. And gosh, I said, "You don't look old enough to have a daughter." Anyway, I gave her a few bob, and I wished her well. I said I'd say a prayer for her, and left it at that. And then the next time I went over there, she was exchanging her place with a young man, fella.
Mm-hmm.
I'm cutting this story short. And I just watched and I waited to see what happened. And they exchanged whatever they had between them. And she took up the rucksack and the thing that they were sitting under. And then the next time I went over, Joe, there was three of them, her mother, herself, and I presume it was her brother or a friend. And they were just relieving each other from that begging spot.
And do you think you were duped?
Yes.
Yeah.
And only in Dublin last week, Joe, well, it's 2 weeks ago now because I came back last week. We went down Henry Street, myself and my sister, who's staying out in Malahide. And this girl was sitting outside of Arnott's, very short hair, cap on her head, her fingernails and her face. They were all as though she'd been digging the garden. And your first gut reaction is, oh, God, help them. You know?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And I looked at her, I felt she wasn't looking, she wasn't asking, she just had her eyes focused on the ground. And my sister June said to me, "That is an act, Betty," she said. "That's theatre makeup they've got on to make themselves look, you know, really bad. Anyway, sure enough, we came back We were staying in the Grand at Malahide and turned on the television. There was something came on the television and here was this guy, the very same, his hands, his face, all made up in this begging with the fingernails. I could not believe it.
Okay, you're adamant that you saw someone dress up in an actor as, well, not as an actor, obviously.
I don't know whether she was. I could be wrong, Joe, but I took it as seriously. But I couldn't get over how dirty her fingernails and hands and face were. And I can still see her in my mind's eye with the cap on her head outside of Arnott's.
Okay, Councillor Mannix Flynn has phoned in. Mannix, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. Good afternoon,
Mr. John's point was, in a short space of time yesterday evening in city centre Dublin, at 20 minutes, seven different people approached him looking for money while he was having a sociable drink and paying tax on the drink. Nearly 50% of every point goes back to the exchequer. But anyway, seven people in 20 minutes and then four people down in Aston Quay. And he was surprised because he's been... Is it as bad as John... I know John saw a microcosm in one sense and was only a short space of time, but Mannix, is it as bad as that in the city centre?
I think it's worse than that. I mean, certainly me and my grounds, they go about the city on a daily basis and an evening basis, you know, it gets worse at the weekends, obviously from Thursday or even Wednesday, it can get very bad around matches. So I would walk that particular city centre area and I could come across 50 to 60 people, and then if I leave it till very late at night time, that could double again. And you could be even standing in one street, you know what I mean, like, for instance, Georgia Street or Fade Street, where there's a group of people outside of a bar, and we're inside a short space of time because there are 20 and 30 people in all different groups, all interacted, a lot of them know each other. Very, very few of them, you know what I mean, that I've come across would be the real hardline cases, the people who would be in great need. An awful lot of them, as I say, would be addiction issues, alcohol issues. Some of them would be just opportunists into the bargain. A lot of them would be, as we know, you know, coming from a certain particular group of people. I won't necessarily mention that because we were inappropriate. You know, and then there is the other issue in relation to those, basically, as I say, who are the wolf sleepers, you know, again, you know, who have are out there on the streets. And then there are the people who have, you know, the genuine, you know, mental health difficulties. I mean, there are genuine people, but the actual numbers, when you boil it down to those that actually would be in the dire needs, are few and far between. Even the churches now actually, you know, refrain or send someone out to stop people begging outside the church. Because it's a major elderly people who are going to masses, you know, again, you know, think twice before they go. It's becoming a major problem. I've asked for legislation to be brought in here, Joe, in relation to like other jurisdictions like London, where there is an offence to actually beg. Now, that doesn't stop begging. Because London, you'll see them outside the supermarket and see individuals outside of ATM machines. And, you know, it's done in that kind of a manner. But you're not being followed. You're not being harangued. You very seldom come across the level. And I think basically that the authorities, you know what I mean, and the city council, and the various charities, you know, let it be said, who get a fair dollop of taxpayers' money, have basically allowed this to get out of control. And again, it affects everybody. For instance, if you were to take your family in, a young family, into Dublin city centre on the weekend, just a young children's family, they would come out of the city traumatised. And I've seen many families say they're never bringing their children back in there again. And again, as I say, there's quite right, the lady who spoke there. No one's turning their back on the individuals. I've friends. I've got relations who are out there. I've got lots of people who are out there in grave difficulty. No one's turning their back. I would be the first to help them. But an awful lot of individuals, as I say, go out there, they get their money, they get their drugs, they leave, they make up their few bob, and they're back on the streets the following day. As I said, Joe, I know people who are saying that they're homeless. I know plenty of people that are out there doing that. So what we need to do here is we need to actually have a zero tolerance on this kind of culture that's grown in Dublin. I can say without doubt what you have here is you have an epidemic of individuals, you know what I mean, and groups, by the way, organised groups on the street. Some time back on Garda Street Corner, stopped an individual who was on Grafton Street quite often in bare feet. They took this individual off a bus, they searched this individual, and they found 3,000 or 4,000 euros in cash on the individual. So, as I say, notwithstanding the fact that there are genuine cases there, and I think very genuine cases, There is a situation.
But Malik, well, put a percentage on it then of genuine cases.
I'd say the genuine cases in it would probably, out of 100%, you're probably talking about 10% to 7% of genuine cases who are out there. And then the genuine cases wouldn't be necessarily regular people. They'd come out every now and again. But if you were to go out there on any one given week, you'd see a regular bunch of individuals. You know, I've seen people get out of high-end cars. I've seen people be given the best of food by charities, and I watched them simply walk over and put it into a bin. I watched one individual basically harangue individuals with a child in their hand, tell the individual that her husband has beaten her up, and could she get the money to get to London? And she's been getting 50 odd euros pop. There's a whole cluster of people out there, Joe. It's another culture, it's a subculture. It's out there. But for the ordinary, everyday Joe Soap, going about their business between, you know what I mean, you know, the beggars on the street, between chuggers, between sandwich boards. Dublin city centre, Joe, is becoming a very hostile place, without question, in every single way of the world. Okay. And as I say, the biggest issues out there are, again, if you go out at night time and you're not out of your mind on drink, but then you've no business being in the city centre at night time, it's appalling. And I get it in the ear from everybody, from okay. people, from citizens, and also,
okay, I'll let you know, and also
from businesses. I'm a member of the Joint Policing Committees. I hear the evidence. I speak to Ungada Shikhan. I speak to all the NGOs. It's a major issue here. And a part of just one more point, Joe. A part of that money that's been handed over by well-meaning individuals goes into the criminal groups because it's got to do with drugs, etc., etc. And a lot of it has got to do with drugs and drink.
Okay, say with us. I'll come back to you, Betty, after this break. 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
51551 text. We were contacted by a caller at the start of the programme, John Ring. Last night in the centre of Dublin, in the space of 20 minutes, he was standing, as a lot of people were yesterday, the sun, the flowers, the sunshine, a lot of people standing outside various pubs and restaurants. And within the space of 20 minutes, he was asked for money by seven different individuals. Ty, good afternoon. Your point, please.
Hi, Joe. Yeah, I was in the same city as John was last night, and I don't recognise anything that he's saying. I was hanging around Duke Street, and we were down in Temple Bar as well. And seven people in 20 minutes, I find that hard to believe, quite frankly.
Well, I don't. I'm sorry, he's hardly ringing up a national radio programme giving his full name, John.
No,
Lee,
but I think there might be some exaggeration there.
Well, hang on, what is the exaggeration? John is gone, by the way, he had to go. But what were you saying?
Well,
he's lying.
Therefore, yeah.
You're saying he's lying?
No. Well, I think there might be. Well, I just find I've never experienced anything like that, and I've lived in the city now for a very long time. I've also lived in other cities, and I don't find Dublin to stand out particularly badly. I think we're in this country, we can be very prone to kind of exaggerate our own faults, our own problems, and our own shortcomings.
Well, do you think Councillor Mannix Flynn is exaggerating when he says 10% of them, if not less, are genuine?
Well, this thing of genuine, actually, can I just go back to something else that Councillor Flynn said, and he called it an epidemic, and I really object to that kind of language because I think it's quite dehumanising of people who find themselves in that situation.
But again, you know, may I just come in there, Joe, in relation to that gentleman. I mean, it's like, you know, as I said, there are genuine people, you know what I mean, who find themselves in that situation. But I mean, many instances that I've come across, it's individuals who basically go out there because it's an easy picking. And as I say, this come out of, like, you know, over the past couple of years, I know plenty of people who go out there and beg because they'll make money. I know plenty of people who've got houses and will go out there and actually spend the weekend begging. That's the way it is. But to say that that there's something wrong with the word epidemic and that I'm demeaning someone, it's quite insulting.
I didn't say you're demeaning them.
The point of the matter is, I'm a public representative, and for the past 10 years, I'm also been born and reared in the city centre. So I would have a fairly good bird's eye view of what's happening in the city centre on both north, south, and east side. So there are plenty of groups out there, there's inner city help and homeless out there working day and night helping individuals. And the situation is growing. Why? Because it's lucrative. Money can be made.
I don't know
where it's lucrative. It's actually, I know people who make lucrative money out of it.
Why are we not all doing it?
Hello,
Joe.
Because I don't know why everybody's not doing it, but there's a certain group of people who are doing this. Okay.
No, because you have to get into a certain level of pride in your life to go down the street and sit on the pavement and ask somebody for money. You have to fall into a deep level of crisis to do that.
You simply do not have to fall into a deep level of crisis to do that. And present me with the evidence. The evidence is not the facts.
The facts of the matter is, I know plenty of people who live normal lives in the daytime, and in the evening time, they don't the clobber and they go
normal
out
normal lives. What kind of normal lives?
Normal lives. They go about their business. They're not begging.
Like
they go about their jobs. They're working. They're at all sorts.
They're working.
Their husbands, etc., etc. And at night time, they know that they can go about
going
there,
around
they
town, sitting on the streets, begging for money, are they?
And they can literally sit on the street.
Joe.
They can walk. Fuck. They
Joe.
Can walk from one end of the town to the next.
Buddy.
Excuse me. They can walk from one end of the town to the next. Sticking out their hands, sticking out their cups and make money. And by the end of the night, they can make, you know, 100 quid, 200 quid. Not bad zone. If you're going to do
where,
that...
Where are you getting that figure? Sorry, 100 quid, 200 quid. Where are you getting that from?
That's the norm for people. I speak to
where are you getting that from?
I talk to them. I'm glad
so
I said, I'm glad to see a car. Oh, you do. So a few minutes ago, you told me you didn't see anybody. That nobody was in Hill Street. And now you're telling you're speaking. So who are you? Reveal yourself.
I'll tell you a story. I was walking down by the.
But who are you? You work in the industry? Are you somebody that works in sales?
No,
I
don't work in the industry.
You came on the program and you said that in Duke Street this wasn't
my name,
this wasn't happening. And
my name is Tiger. I don't work in homelessness or anything like that. I work in a completely different industry. But I do speak to homeless people, like most ordinary civilized people.
This isn't about homeless people. This is about beggars, by the way. The issue here is about beggars. It's not about homeless people. That's what the caller was on about. It's all about begging, not homeless people.
That's
people live out there and beg.
Yeah, but that's interesting because that's a way of kind of siphoning off the issue and saying, you know, that no true Scotsman kind of fallacy. Well, saying, well, I'm in favour of helping the homeless or I'm in favour of helping the poor, but only the real poor, only the deserving poor. But who gets to decide that? I mean, these people, I really
the
do
poor,
believe all
the big issue about the poor. If you read Anthony DeMello, and if you even look at the whole story of Price, not everybody who's out there who is poor can be reached to or got to. The example can be made, like the loaves and the fishes, and like the Christ walk, or even DeMello, where he says, you know, you give to one person who's genuinely begging, you give to all, but you can't give to everybody. And what I'm saying here is that Dublin City Centre is a very lucrative place who those who would exploit the goodness of individuals.
Mannix, do you not think Tig is a very strong point in saying, can you, well, he didn't put it this way, but can you imagine yourself sitting on a street or going up to somebody saying, can you lend? It is a deeply, deeply humiliating experience to go and ask other people for money.
Joe, the point of the matter is, if you have an addiction, you know, which I had for alcohol, I had no problem doing that because I got into a shameless place. So I had no problem taking money off of people, demanding money off
and
people.
Did you do it?
Yes, I did. Of course I did. And I begged and I basically stole and I did everything I possibly could to feed my drinking issue. And I'm saying that there are individuals like that who are unfortunate out there on the streets. But also, in terms of the begging issue, there are lots of people who don't have such issues, who simply know that there's money to be made out there and they go and do it. As the same way people go into, you know, and make money out of collecting scrap or collecting bottles or go out there and do our jobs.
Okay,
let me
bring Pat.
Okay, here.
Pat in Virginia and County Cavan. Pat.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
What happened outside M&S in Cavan?
Yeah, you have to come out of the shopping centre if you want to go to M&S across the road. And there was this foreign lady standing. She had a bag from the chemist. And she asked me for money. And I said to her, I'm sorry, which I didn't have. I said, I've no money on me. And she said, please. She says, I'm starving. So I said, well, fair enough. I said, come on over with me, I said, and I'll get you tea and I'll get you a sandwich.
Okay.
So we proceeded over and I went to turn left because that's where the little cafe is. But she headed straight across into the supermarket.
Yeah.
Picked up a basket and started to proceed to shop. And I said to her, no, you can't do that, I said. I mean, I'm 72, I'm an old-age pensioner. I said, no, you can't do that, I said. I said, I'll buy you bread and milk and eggs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Think, for the children.
Yeah, the basics, yeah.
Yeah, so she said, she picks up two cucumbers, and she said, now, they're only 60 cents each. So I said, okay. So then we proceeded around, and I was looking for the bread and the milk, and she comes, and she has this huge big packet of chicken fillets. And
right.
I said, well, I said, no. But beside that, there was a fine lasagna for €8. I said, well, you can have that. So I was going around looking for bread and milk and eggs, and she proceeded bringing around stuff, going to put it in the basket. And I was saying to her, no, you can't, no. But anyway, then I got her bread and I got her milk, but she said to me, can I have two cartons of milk? So I said, okay. So then we proceeded around and she went to the dessert. Now, Marks and Spencer's desserts are beautiful. But Joe, I couldn't afford them, right?
Okay.
And she said, the children would love them. Well, I said to her, I'm sorry, I said. But I said, I went and I got two packs of sweets, which was €4. So the whole total, we went up to the checkout and she went to get a bag. She had no bag. So she started to take, you know, the good bags. So my husband was behind me and he said to her, no. He said, you'll take the plastic bag. So she took the plastic bag and I'm still, I don't know where I am. And she pushed the things through. So it was just under €30, right?
Okay.
And in the meantime, she takes the receipt off me. And then I started to get worried and started to get a bit nervous because I was saying, oh, I wonder what my card number, you know, the usual things go through your head.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was okay. I went and I shopped in Marks and I got what I wanted and I told the girl what happened. And I came out and we went back into Navan Shopping Centre. And here, this lady is coming out now of Tesco's with two punnets of strawberries and something else in her hand. And the bag is gone. So obviously she has somebody waiting outside wherever she gets.
So do you suspect you were duped or are you adamant you were duped?
I know I was, Joe. I mean, I'm a dope. But it all happened so quick. It happened, that was the thing. I mean, usually I'm a good listener, but I just went blank and started to go around, here I am, what am I doing now? Oh my God, what am I up to do?
Were you on your own, by the way, or
No,
your
my
family?
Husband was with me. No.
What did he say?
Well, he knows me, I will be a bit of a giver, right? And
Well, there's no harm being a giver now, Pat.
No,
good character.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, I was taught, Joe, years by my mother now, she would say, well, look, give it in the name of God. I know that wouldn't go down too well now.
Yeah, okay.
Give it in the name of God and sure, it doesn't matter. You help somebody. So that's it. No matter what they do, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
But I was shaken up about it. But just to let people be aware that it can happen to you and it can happen very, very quick.
Okay, that's your experience. Let me bring in Pat Mahan. Pat, good afternoon. Thanks, Pat, in Virginia.
Okay.
But this is Pat Mahan. Go ahead, Pat. You drive. Mannix is still there. Mannix, a quick question to you, Mannix. When you said you were begging and you said you were thieving, we'll come back to the begging a bit. Do you think people were wrong to give you money?
No, I think, you know, I was in a shameless state, you know, of addiction, and as I said, I was able to kind of manipulate people, you know. I mean, they were genuine people. But, I mean, after a while, those same people said, look, you're not getting any more. I'll buy you some food and I'm not buying you drink. And it was through that process that I got well and sober, that people turned around and said, get your act together, that doors were closed on me, and that people said, no, there was a zero tolerance. And then the zero tolerance led to a rock bottom. And that rock bottom, you know, put me into Talbot Grove in County Kerry 19 years ago. And I'm very well.
I'm
life beyond my wildest dreams. And, you know, I managed to get sober and well and build a whole life. But, you know, if the people had kept giving me money, I wouldn't have changed. You know what I mean? So the people just said, look, I'm sorry, I gave you money last night. I gave you X, Y, Z last night. I let you stay here last night. And eventually, my own family, the same, they just said no.
Did you ever give the money back?
I did.
Oh, did you? Okay.
I offered money back to people, and the money that I did get off of people, I constantly give to those that I believe, you know what I mean, are really the people who actually, you know, need it and can work with. I work with the elderly, I work with senior citizens in Dublin City Council, I work through all the flat complexes. I do a whole load of different things. But look, I mean, nobody's turned around and trying to undermine human beings. We're just looking at a situation that's happened in the city that's impacting on everybody. And for those who really want help, I know for a fact there's help out there. For those who really want, you know what I mean, to get their acts together, their lives, those who really want food and get looked after, there's people there. There's Brother Kevin, there's Sister Concilio, there's Peter McReady, there's inner city helping homeless. But I have to say, it took me 20 years to wake up, Joe. It took me 20 years to beat my addiction. And it took me a long time to change my behaviour. And, you know,
as I said, that's all we're trying to do, is change Dublin's behaviour for the better and make Dublin City and its citizens the better. But I always found that Dublin is a very generous place. That's why there are so many people out there with their hands out. It's a generous city.
Okay, let me sure. Thanks. That's Councillor Manning's friend. I want to bring Pat Mahan. Are you there now, Pat?
Hello?
Yeah, Pat, go ahead. You're a taxi driver.
I find that the city is totally out of control with beggars, absolutely. I live in the city centre. I drive a taxi. I've noticed now in the last few years, it's just absolutely totally out of control. Very little police. And a lot of it is drug addiction. A lot of it is, I've noticed now, Roma gypsies. Not just taking on anybody, but this is how it is. This is the fact. I often go into the International Bar, maybe in St. William Street, sit outside, can't do it anymore. You're just being approached the whole time, you know? That's what my point is.
Is it getting worse?
100% getting worse, yeah. Even if I walk into the city, I live in East Wall, if I walk into the city, like, again, I hit Todd Street, I'm being approached. It only happened the other day. So I'm getting approached more and more the whole time.
And is there any use in going down the road of asking how many? This is such a difficult thing to do. How many do you think are genuine? Percentage wise,
it's hard to say. Like, you know, but these are all people I'm finding is all drug affected. You know, they're dishevelled and it's mostly it's drugs or it's drink. You know, but it's definitely. It's happening more and more, absolutely. You know, I walk from some of the ranks in town and I never used to have my doors locked, but now I do because I have to see who's coming up to the door before I let anybody in now.
And the taxi. Okay, let me bring Lisa in. 51551. Thanks, Pat. 51551. Lisa, your point, please.
Hello, Jim.
Yeah, go ahead, Lisa.
Just on my son's experience back in 2017 the bad winter we had.
Yeah.
And he was walking to work at 7 a.m. and a couple of mornings this man was sitting on the pram begging. So this particular morning he really felt sorry for him and he crossed over and went to a shop and got coffee and a sandwich.
Right.
And came back and gave it to him. And the man stood up and threw both in his face and abused him. That it was money he wanted, not food. So I just wanted to make that point. I have no experience myself because I don't live there.
Okay. Okay, Tadhg, do you want to respond briefly to Manning's and the points that have been made?
Yeah, Joe, actually, first of all, I didn't know that about Manix's past, and I'd like to congratulate him on all that he's done. Okay. But just on that previous caller, just what she said right now, I had a slightly similar experience. I sometimes walk the dog down by the canal there, you know, in Portobello, and you have some homeless people sleeping in tents around there. And I was walking down there two or three nights ago, and there was a guy sitting who had been sleeping in a tent, and he was sitting on a bench, and I said, "Where's your tent gone?" And he said, "Well, the guards came and they moved me on because the locals were kind of afraid of it." And I just wonder, what is so fearful about somebody who's homeless? I don't understand this kind of fear towards them.
Yeah. I just respond to that, Joe?
Yeah, go ahead.
There were a number of issues in relation to people on the canal bank. One was the fact that they were using the canal bank as a lavatory. And there was issues around young children actually coming across that situation. There was also the issue of drug addiction. But this debate on this radio program is about begging. It's not about homelessness and it's not about Portobello, you know, or the Grand Prix.
Yeah, but they are linked, Manning.
No, they're not necessarily linked. This is about begging. It's not necessarily linked. I mean, that's where you make the mistake. This was about a man who went out for a drink and he was approached by seven people over a short period of time begging. Do you know what I mean? Like, he wasn't approached by seven people who had needle in their arms or were shooting up.
Yeah, but Max, would you say that's a fairly unusual experience, isn't it?
No, it's not. I mean, I'm in St. Kevin's. I work and I operate in the area. I'm in the city centre day and night. I'm telling you, that's the truth of the experience.
And I'm in the city centre every single day. I'm in the city centre right at this moment.
You must have one eye closed. I'll take you on a walk with me. Come on a walk with me.
All right.
I'll give you my number. Come on a walk with me. Come to the city centre. And anyone given a weekend, and I'll show you exactly what the situation is. There's those that sit down at various points because they're lucrative places outside the ATM machines. Then there's a tranche of individuals who go around walking and go from place to place. because they know that that's looking to interact with each other. There's a whole culture out there of stuff that's going on, and it's all okay. Interacting with
okay. Beds. Let Anita have the last word. Your point, please, Anita.
Hi. Yeah, I was coming out to the theatre one night with my friend and our two husbands.
Right.
And the Olympia, we were walking down to a restaurant, and this guy, poor guy, was sitting on the ground, dishevelled.
Okay.
You know, it was raining and off. So I looked at my wallet and I said, look, I've no cash. Hold on, I'll go into the cash machine. So in I went. And he said to me, if you gave me 50, I was going to give you 20, but he said to me, if you gave me 50, I'd be able to book in for the month into the hostel.
Right.
So I said, okay, anyway, I gave the 50. That was all right, off I went. And of course, when I got outside, oh, you're always the same, you're in Egypt, you're blah, blah. So anyway, I went up to Newry about a month later, and I came back into Connolly Station. And I'm standing outside Connolly Station with my sister. And next I see this very attractive blonde girl literally bouncing across the road with a lovely denim mini skirt and a lovely top and her hair up in a ponytail. And who was walking beside her with a bag full of shopping? Only your man.
And what your point is, you don't believe he was homeless?
I couldn't believe it. I worked for Oxfam for 10 years, and I worked for it's all now, like part time and pension now. But there are some, and there are not some. But then they fall between the cracks.
Okay. So, just to paraphrase, am I correct in saying, Anita, you felt duped by that guy when he came with you to the ATM and you gave him the 50?
No, not that night. I didn't.
I know, but subsequently. Subsequently.
Not till I saw him coming across the road with this woman.
Okay. Anita, okay, thanks indeed. 51551 joe@rt.ie. Just before the break, reminder that we are in the Kingsley Hotel in Cork this Friday, today being Wednesday, this Friday, for the Funny Friday Summer Special, and a massive lineup from Al Foran to Frank Ford to Packy to Liam Hurricane, June Rogers, a whole long, fantastic list, the two Declans, Doc Savage, loads of people there. All loads of giveaways for the season that's in it and the temperature that's in it. The Kingsley Hotel in Cork, 145 on Friday. And of course, it's free.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Theresa May has arrived at Buckingham Palace to formally tender her resignation as Prime Minister. And as you know, a number of ministers have already resigned. Philip Hammond, Rory Stewart, people that were expected to resign in advance of Prime Minister Boris Johnson in about 1 hour's time. Let me bring Fergus McDermott. You want to join in this debate? Go ahead, Fergus.
Hello, Joe. How you doing, Joe? Just ringing there about that caller you had on, John, earlier.
John Ring,
that
yeah.
His evening was being infringed on, and that he was upset that he couldn't go for his drink or meet his friends. It came across to me that, you know, he wanted to walk through Dublin, whatever street he was going down.
Well, he was having a drink outside. It was on Fade Street, he said. There's a load of restaurants up there. The Hogan's and the Market Bar and Martine's, and there's loads of different takeaways. And it's a very convivial area up there. And he said he was on the street on a glorious summer's evening. And by the way, the pub is paying Dublin City Council to allow people to stand on the street. They're paying their half 50% tax on every pint that they sold but John is paying the 50% tax. And he's saying he was just having a drink with four friends who happened to be from different countries, and he was just annoyed that in a space of 20 minutes, seven people came up looking for money, and to the impact being that they had to go back in out of the sunshine. It just wasn't enjoyable, their conversation being interrupted. 7 into 20 every 3 minutes or so. That was his point.
Well, the way I look at it is, you know, the seven people that were having their drinks, all they had to do, I mean, it was just throw, we'll say, a euro in or 2 euro, they were gone. Seven people, that's, we'll say, 7 €1, 7 euro, they were gone, or 7 €2, 14 euros, and they had the rest of the night free. And, like, I mean, that 2 euros to those people that could go and have something to eat that night, it made a lot. And, like, they had the rest of the night, they could go inside, they were spending, you know, you go out in Dublin, what, maybe 100, 150, yeah, as opposed to 7 euro, 10 euro.
Yeah, like, but, I mean, no, no, but hang on, but hang on, but hang on.
In Dublin on, in this day and age.
Yeah, but hang on, Fergus. When John or anyone else who goes in and spends 100 euro in Dublin city centre in the pub, 50% of that, if not more, goes in taxes to the state. So you can't lay it on him saying he's somehow, because he got annoyed at seven people in a row coming up to him, that somehow he doesn't contribute. He does, buying a point.
We all do that.
Okay.
An extra euro for someone on the street, or 2 euro, even with his 50%, is no big deal. And to be given out in Dublin, where the way the situation is now with homelessness and rents and one thing and another, and people with problems to no fault of their own. Like, I mean, his wonderful evening was being destroyed for 20 minutes and he had to go inside. It seems like not a real big deal. All he had to do was give them a euro, 2 euro, and they were away, and that meant a lot to them.
Mannix, what do you think at that point?
Again, you know what I mean? I mean, this is a constant thing, because you hand out 7 euros and seven more people come along looking for 7 euros. It's a constant thing in the city. It's not about these people walking off and actually buying food, because I've given people money and I've also observed them put the money into their pocket and go to the next place. I've never really observed that many people that I've given money to, or anybody that's been given money to run in and buy themselves food or to sit down and get something to eat. I've certainly observed individuals who got money to go off and score the dope or go in and buy the drink. But the situation here is, it would be nice and easy if that was the case, if you handed over the few bob and that was the end of it. But that's not the end of it. There's a various groups of individuals who go around the city constantly throughout the night and the daytime, you know, begging. And that's it. And they could end up in the same spot 3 or 4 times that night. They may not hit you that night 3 or 4 times, but they could hit other individuals. So the likes of Hogan's, the likes of the Market Bar, all of those places on Georgia Street, Yamamori, the Bustic Stone, all those places that have visitors outside and the indigenous people from the city outside are constantly being hit. And I'm a resident in the city. I know what the city's about. I'm a councillor for the city. And I see it from the 7 o'clock in the morning till the last thing at night, I see it. And I come across the same individuals day in, day out, month in, month out. And as I said, you know, there are people who are absolutely 100%, you know, are out there and they need it. And then there's other individuals who are just simply out there making a dollar. But the idea that you'd have to put in an extra 5 euros to hand out, you know, people do hand over their money. Those ladies and those gentlemen who you had on your programme said they brought people into shops, they bought food for them, they gave them money, they gave them 50s. But it's to no avail. Nothing's happening.
Okay, let me bring in John O'Byrne. John, your point, please.
Good afternoon. I, like Mannix Flynn, am a dope. I worked in Trinity for 12 years, so at that time at lunchtime, I'd go strolling in the street, and I came across the fakes, and I came across the real thing. I mean, the fakes were a bit like that woman being brought into the shop. There was one woman used to push a pram around with no baby in it that was starving, and bring people to the supermarket, buy the stuff, keep the receipt in case the guards came to her for stealing, return to the shop with the receipt and ask for her money back. I also seen people coming into Trinity early in the morning to have a shave and a wash in the public toilets, the toilets in Trinity, and I mean the staff in there were very good. They would just simply ignore them because they were harmless enough individuals.
Of course, yeah.
So I put money in my pocket when I go into town. Maybe up to 10 euros, loose change, and I hand it out, and it's up to that person to do what they like with that money. It's not going to break the bank.
Okay.
And I may get 50% right and 50% wrong.
Yes.
But sometimes I get it right. Sometimes I met a young woman one night who was, you know, nearly crying, and but she wasn't bothering anybody. I went over to ask her what her problem was. Now, she may be a very good actor, and some of them are, and I gave her 20 euro, and she threw her arms around me, and she says, that'll stop me sleeping on the street tonight. Now, maybe she went off and scored somewhere,
Yeah, but it's not going to break you, yeah?
It's not going to break me. And maybe I did do a good turn. Maybe.
Okay.
And one last point, Joe, is you're handing out people money. They're not stealing them to feed their habit. I know people have drug habits and that they're alcoholics and they have habits. But if I can give them a few bob, they're not robbing other people. They're not breaking into shops or houses and so on. Yeah. So maybe I get it right 50% of the time.
Maybe get it wrong. Okay, Mary, your point, please. Before the break.
Joe, I'm just listening to your conversation there, and I do have great pity for those people that are, you know, are homeless or whatever. But I think we have to wake up to the fact that, you know, when they come up to you, I know my sister would have, she's a nurse in Dublin, she'd have always given money, she'd have always given a couple of euros to people who would come up to her. And one day she gave this guy a euro, and I couldn't even use the language that he used towards her because it wasn't enough.
Upset that it was only a euro.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Okay. And I do think as well the intimidation, and I have three children, I had two in a buggy, and coming out of Houston Station, I was petrified trying to mind them from the Lewis. Guys coming up behind you while you're trying to get your ticket, that's wrong, and it shouldn't be allowed. And it's very intimidating.
I'd just like to know that guy that said you can get up to 100 or 200 in certain areas, sitting in pivotal areas. If that's the case, I'd love to join him and just test that. I give up my job completely. 200 a day?
Arthur's in Kilkenny. Arthur, your quick point, please.
Hi, Joe. I just want to make a point, you know, when people talk about addicts and addicts that beg. You know, a couple of years ago, I was addicted to opiates. I wasn't addicted to heroin. I was addicted to pharmaceutical opiates that you would get from the chemist. That started off with Nurofen Plus and then went on to Tramadol and Tylex.
Okay.
And as a result of that, I spent 8 weeks in Beaumont doing a detox and then a subsequent year and a half in Coalmine Therapeutic Community in Dublin. And two things, you know, I was very lucky with my addiction because my withdrawal from the opiates wasn't half as bad as the people that were around me when I was in Beaumont. But I will never forget how crushing it was and how painful it was. It really was the most painful couple of weeks I've ever had in my life. And to be honest, you know, if you're an addict on the street, you know, if no one... You know, you've no access at that point in time to proper medical help, people who can actually help you withdraw. I can appreciate the desperation. And to sort of demonize people because they're in that state, yes, they might have made bad choices. I made bad choices. But they're in that state now, and demonizing them for being sick and desperate.
And who do you think is demonizing them?
I think Mannix Flynn is.
Yeah, well, I don't believe
I really do. He might not be...
Let Arthur finish, Mannix. Your final
point. The
thing
about it is that, you know, what the guy said earlier, you know, who are you to judge who is worthy and not? You know? I mean, whenever I was in coal mine, I remember I was a year and a half in coal mine, and Joe, I don't know if you ever have been there.
No, it's a great organisation. Great organisation.
Oh, it's brilliant.
And long-standing, yes.
You know, I had an education, I had a job, worked all my life, and I found myself in coal mine and around people who I would have never met before, you know, and I'll be honest, before I was in coal mine, I would have kind of looked down on them. I wouldn't have admitted it, but I would have, you know, in myself, you know. And when I got to know people, I mean, I had a big brother in coal mine called Martin, and, you know, the background he came from, you know, and his life experience was... You know, it was really humbling, and I couldn't believe, you know, what he had been through and sort of put my own troubles into perspective. But he would have been that person that Mannix is talking about.
Hysterical,
listen, you know, I mean, the thing about it is that, like, I was that person. I am that person. I just go at a day at a time without drink or drugs. So I'm not undermining or demonizing anybody. I went to a similar treatment program in Tobergrove. I was 20 years fighting addiction, so I know and I respect entirely what goes on in the Cool Mind Center. But to accuse me of demonizing individuals, let me just put it into a bit of context. Alcohol and addiction were the thing that demonized and stigmatized and labeled me and turned me into a shameless individual and put all those stigmas onto me of alcohol and junkie, etc., etc. Nobody put those terms on me. Those terms were about me because that's what happened in my life. I hit rock bottom.
Were you on the street?
I was
told. Hang on, Manix.
I was on the street.
Manix. He's asked a question. Let him answer the question.
I was in all of those places. It was a very.
And were you glad or horrendous?
Let me finish. And it was a very public display of addiction and pain and suffering. That's the way it was. And I had the best of homes. I had the best of relationships. And I destroyed every single one of them through my addiction. Don't try to shove it down my throat that I'm trying to undermine or demonise the people that I work with, including my own family
members. You've been there, you've recovered, but you should not be understanding for the people on the street at the moment.
I have a complete and absolute understanding for everybody on the street, including the ordinary citizens.
They're not there by choice. Who's going about that business?
This program was about begging. It's not about addiction and it's not about homeless.
They're linked.
It's about individuals out there. They're not linked. There's only 5% chances. You know a lot about that. I know a huge amount about that situation. I'm the one on the ground.
Fergus, you say there's 5% chances. Manning says it's 90%.
Absolutely not. There's not 90% people go
Where do you live? Do you live in Monaghan? I know Monaghan very well. I worked in Dublin with the Simon for years. Great place, Monaghan. Love Anna McCarrick and the Tyrone Guthrie Centre. Fantastic place.
I live and work in Dublin
where there are basically over a million individuals. I see it every day in the week. I know exactly who it is.
And more and more people on the streets because of the housing.
There's more and more people on the streets because there's an opportunity to beg and get money. And there are genuine people out there. And there are
it's not by choice.
James has contacted us from the UK and you say you're a constant visitor to Dublin and you think things have changed.
Yeah, they definitely have changed. I mean, you really need to wake up to it if you don't see that they have changed. Significantly in the last 2 or 3 years, certainly when you go around Henry Street, you feel like you're being intimidated. It never used to feel like that. You could walk down there normally and people would come up to you and yet you'd be charitable. But now they're actually straight in your face and they're getting cheeky with it. And, you know, it's okay helping people, but how many are genuine people? How can you say that they're genuine or not? You can't distinguish between two. And this is not about homelessness. So I totally agree with Malik. It's about begging. And it's the harassment that they do and the uncomfortable position they put people in. A lot of people could feel intimidated by this. It's just not good enough.
Okay. Quick break. More after this. 51551. Remember the Kingsley Hotel on Friday. I'll give you a more detailed announcement about that in a more appropriate debate. I'm sorry for inserting it there. Back after this break.